Praise the Lord. It's time to look to the Word of God. Today I want to speak on a particular word. It's a word on my heart, and it's the word kindness. The kindness of God and the kindness of a Christian. And the question today is, how's your agape? How's your love for God, and how's your love for people? The word kindness. Let's look at Proverbs 10, or 19, I'm sorry, and verse 22, first of all. Talk about kindness today. The Bible says the desire of a man is his kindness. The desire of a man is his kindness. You know, a man can be so harsh and cutting and cruel, but the Bible says the desire of a man is his kindness. The ASV says, that which makes a man to be desired is his kindness. That which makes a man to be desired is his kindness. God wants to work the quality of kindness into our lives. And then it says in Proverbs 31 and 26 of a woman, the virtuous woman, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. God is looking for kindness in his people, in their words, in their spirit. Let all the men say, that which is desired in a man is kindness. Let all the women say, in my tongue will be the law of kindness. I think the one quality that all of us appreciate most about God is his kindness. Romans 2:4 says it's the kindness, krestos, it's the right interpretation. The kindness of God leads us to repentance. It's the manner in which God deals with us. It's the kindness with which he comes to us. Psalm 63 and verse 3, because your loving kindness, what a beautiful word that is, because your loving kindness, God says, that is me, loving kindness. Because your loving kindness, Lord, is so great, is toward me, my lips will praise you. And this is the way I will bless you. I will lift up my hands in your name and adore and worship and magnify you. Because your loving kindness is better than life itself, my lips will praise you and my hands will be raised to praise and worship and adore your name. We appreciate the kindness of God. We think how many times God has dealt kindly with us. Even in natural life, you think and remember fondly the people that dealt kindly with you, that showed you kindness. Kindness is such a powerful and beautiful attribute and virtue of the Lord. We're talking about Christian kindness. Now in Exodus 33, verses 18 to 19, Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory. Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to know who you are. Tell me who you are. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. God says, I want to introduce to you who I am. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord, Yahweh or Jehovah, before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy, racham, that tender love, womb love, that tender affection on whom I will show mercy. Look at the words in this passage. Lord, show me who you are. God says, I'm going to show you. I'll make my goodness pass before you. I'll make my graciousness pass before you. I'll make my mercy pass before you. And then in chapter 34, in verses 6 to 7, the Lord came, and it says that Jehovah passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, that is bearing long with difficult people, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Deuteronomy adds, to those that hate him. This is a word not to those who love God, but that hate him. that the iniquity goes on to the children's children, to the fourth generation. God is just, but he's kind. God is demanding. The parables teach us that. God is looking for a return on his investment. Don't you bury your talent and the gift of God in the earth. God's looking for a return on his investment. God is kind, but he corrects. He disciplines his children. He insists on holiness. He insists that we obey his word, but he's kind. He's kind. And when God introduced himself to Moses, the first thing that he showed Moses was his kindness. God has to be just. God has to be righteous. The judge of the whole earth must do right in every situation and in every case. But he's loving and he's kind. The Bible tells us that God's mercy triumphs over judgment. That mercy triumphs over judgment. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. With long suffering, he deals with every human heart to draw that person to repentance. Ezekiel said in chapter 33 and verse 11, he said, God speaking, God says, I have no delight in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his wicked way and live, that he would find salvation, that he would find surrender in the presence of God. I like the words of G. Campbell Morgan. God doesn't send anyone to hell who doesn't first send himself there. God doesn't send anyone to hell who doesn't first send himself there. God is kind, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's loving, he's compassionate. In the end, he must do right, he must do justice. But with long suffering, he deals with all of our hearts to draw us to repentance and to draw us to himself. When Jesus Christ walked the earth in his ministry, for those beautiful 3.5 years. He came, he said, to reveal the Father. He came to show us the Father. This is what the Father is like. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus Christ is identified as the Son of Man. The Son of Man. He's showing us what a man should be like. The desire of a man is kindness. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. But in Luke's gospel, he is the man. Jesus shows us the tenderness of God. He shows us his compassion, that deep feeling of sorrow against sin, against hurt, against the break in people's lives. He's there. He's so compassionate. He's so kind in the gospel of Luke. He's ministering to the sinner, to the stranger. He's forgiving sin. He touches the leper. He touches the unclean. He blesses the widow. He touches those who are weeping. He raises up the people to be filled with the life of God. That is our Savior. That is Jesus our Lord. He's kind. God is kind. God is kind. Now in Luke chapter 6, 35 to 36, Jesus said these words in Luke's gospel. But love you your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. This is what Jesus says about God the Father. He is kind. He's kind even to the unthankful and to the evil. He deals kindly with the people of earth while he's drawing them unto him for salvation. And the Bible says, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Sometimes we're careful that our love should be too broad, but the Lord isn't. He's kind. He's gracious. He's good. He's long-suffering. He deals in mercy and forgiveness. That's our great Savior and our Lord, and it's his kindness that drew us to repentance. When we look in the Word of God, we find that God is also kind to animals, to all living creatures. He's kind to animals. Anything on this earth that has the life principle, the soul, it's a living being. Animals are living beings, and the Lord says that our Father in heaven, not even a sparrow alights or falls to the ground in death without our Father's notice and care. Jesus said, not even a little sparrow is forgotten before God. Jesus said, fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. God is that interested. God is that kind to his creation. When he set aside one day and seven for rest, which was a creation mandate before the Sabbath was even brought in under the law of Moses, the Lord said, 6 days you shall labor, and the seventh you shall rest. He said, I want one day of rest in a week. And he said, it's not only for you and for your servant, but it's for your cattle. It's for your donkey. It's for your camel. It's for your beasts of burden that pull load and work in the fields. God says, I want to give them a day of rest as well. The Bible says in Proverbs that a righteous man regards the life of his beast. A righteous man has kindness toward the animals that he works with, those that labor for him. A righteous man has a kindness toward animals. Do you know that animals are waiting for their owners to become Christians? Because Christians are kinder. They have the mercy, they have the Spirit of God in them. Romans chapter 8, 19 to 21 says that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now we apply that to the resurrection day when the curse of earth will be fully and finally lifted, but it's applying now as well that animals are waiting for people to get saved, for there to be Christian owners that deal with them more kindly and rather than so cruelly. Even the animals are groaning. When Jonah was upset at the Lord because the Lord wasn't destroying Nineveh for its wickedness and cruelty, the Lord said to him, Jonah, why do you not have compassion upon this great city? And he said, this city is not only filled with people, men and women, that I have compassion and I have desire for, but he said, in this city are 120,000 infants and children who can't discern between the right hand and the left. They don't even understand right hand and left hand yet. 120,000 little children. And he said, there are much cattle in this city. He said, I have compassion. I have compassion on this city. I have compassion on the children. I have compassion even on the animals. Our God is kind. Our God is kind. Our God is kind. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible, as we know. The entire chapter deals with love, with agape, which is the divine love of God. Beyond the human expression of love, the divine love of God. Love suffers long and is kind. Is kind. Love suffers long. Love bears long with difficult and trying people. And love is kind. Krestos. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, or some translations, New King James has kindness. It should be kindness. Gentleness is also very vivid. But the word again, krestos, love is kind. Love, God is love, and God is kind. God is love, and God is kind. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. The desire of a man is his kindness. In the virtuous woman's mouth is the law of kindness. God wants to bring forth a kind people. Now, the question I have this morning is, how's your agape? How's your loving kindness? How's your loving kindness? A few months ago, I felt stirred toward 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, all the definitions that are there, and there are 15 descriptions of love. What love is like, this love of God that is to permeate and flow in our lives. 15 descriptions of this love of God, and I began to memorize them afresh, and I tried to learn them and apply them and think of situations where they would need to be applied. How's your agape? How many this morning, if you're honest? For the length of time that you've been saved, you're disappointed you're not more loving and kind and considerate? wow, for the amount of time I've been saved, am I kind enough? Am I considerate enough? Because what God wants to increase this in our lives, this spirit of kindness, the spirit of the love of God in all of us, for our homes, for people, for life in general. So I began to apply this love of God. I'd ask myself as I looked at, how's your agape? And then I'd have to work it out because it gets practical really quickly in a day. Sometimes you don't even get out the door. And so when I would be, you know, a little impatient in traffic, I'd reprove myself. I'd rebuke myself, say, that's not agape. I'd say it out loud, that's not agape. And so I'd back off. Weary in lineups in stores. Weary in lineups. I say, that's not agape. Why don't I just take a few moments right now? I can praise the Lord. I can speak in tongues. I can praise the Lord. Maybe the Lord will speak to me right here. An unkind thought comes across to tempt your heart and mind. That's not agape. That's not agape. A word wants to cross your lips of criticism or slander. That's not agape. How's your agape this morning? God wants to work on this agape. God wants to work on this love of God, this kindness in our lives. Wow, even yesterday I was tested a little bit. I was driving. I wanted to get somewhere, and I was kind of pressed for time, and this person just happened to pull out at that time in front of me, and I could, there was only one lane, and this person was going 10 kilometers under the speed limit. And so I thought, maybe I should teach this person how to drive and just give them. I said, that's not agape. And I backed off. The love of God. Agape is kind. Now, there are two primary kinds of love in the Bible as it relates to the believers. One is philia, and the other is agape. Philia, Philadelphia, love of the brethren. And agape. So we have philia is this affectionate love for one another. It's friendship love. It's love for the brothers and sisters. It has affection in it. And then the Bible uses this word, and if you've been saved any amount of time at all, you've heard the word agape. It is the word that was adopted in the New Testament out of the Greek language to describe the love of God. It's divine love. It's spiritual love. It's love of a higher quality. It is, we can say, unconditional, but not unjudicial. It requires, but it's kind. It's loving. It goes beyond the person. It's the love of God. It's His care. Agape has tender feeling in it. It has affection. Our God is jealous for our devotion. It's earnest. It's tender love. It's love that seeks the highest good for the object of its love. This is the love of God, this agape, and how we need this agape. This is the love the Bible is calling to us. It's the higher level of love. We have love in the aspect of philia, the friendship love, the love of the brethren, the love of the family of God. But then we have this agape, this love of God in our hearts. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. The Apostle Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. The Greek word is Philadelphia. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, brotherly love. See that ye agape one another with a pure heart fervently. So the Bible calls us to both dimensions of love. We have love of friendship here. We have love of communion of the saints. But the Bible says beyond our affection for one another, because sometimes our affection can grow a little cool. depending on the situation, the trial, the offense. But God says, see that you have agape love for one another with a pure heart fervently. Make sure you keep that agape love in your heart at all times. 2 Peter 1:7, and to godliness, he's saying add to your faith. He says add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Again, the word Philadelphia. Add the love of the brethren, the affection of the saints. And to brotherly kindness, charity, or love, the Greek word agape. So to brotherly kindness and then to agape, philia and agape. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, the love of the brethren, philia love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to agape one another. They're mixing those two words into the same statements. He said, you have this unfeigned love for one another, this love of the brethren. But he said, I want you to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Make sure you have the agape love of God in your hearts as well. Now, the Bible in many instances in the New Testament talks about these two kinds of love. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. Let it be maintained. Let this brotherly love, this friendship love in the house of God, let it continue and abide. And then the Bible says that we are to, Philippians 1:9 says, we are to abound in agape more and more. And 1 Thessalonians 3:12, that we would increase and abound in this agape love of God, this divine love, this spiritual love, more and more. Hallelujah. The love of God, the kindness of God. Now, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad, poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The more we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more the love of God will flow from our lives. And we can tell that in a moment in our lives. I mean, in any given church service, you can tell when the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life in greater power, and all of a sudden you're more loving and encouraging and blessing to people. Why? The love of God is being activated. The love of God is being poured out in your heart as you worship, as you're under the word, as you're in the presence of God's people. And so this love is to increase and abound. The longer we live as Christians, there should be a greater increase of not only the brotherly love, the love for the saints, but for this agape, this divine love of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for his kindness today. Thank God for his mercy. He deals kindly with us. He deals gently with us. He cares for us at all times and all situations. Now this morning I want to close out with the kindness of God. The kindness of God. I want to talk about the kindness of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 3, 2 Samuel 9 and verse 3, King David said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. King David, is there anyone left of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God to him? I want to show how God treats people, David said. Is there someone of that fallen house of Saul that I can show kindness to? David was searching. David was seeking. And the Bible says that God searches and seeks to save the lost. If you don't know Jesus Christ here as your Lord and Savior, and you have not forsaken all to follow him, he is searching you out this morning. But the truth is, he's searching all of us all the time. He loves us. He wants us in his presence. Is there anyone that I can show the kindness of God to? God's searching for man. In Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, The Lord came and he was calling, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? The love of God coming to seek the fallen man, the sinner, the sinful man. Adam hiding among the trees, patched up around his life with good works of his own self-effort that could cover his body and hide his sin maybe from people, but it could never hide the sin of his soul. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? God came seeking the fallen people that had now become estranged from him. And Jesus said, the Son of Man comes to seek and to save the lost. He's searching, he's seeking in our lives. David said, is there anyone that I can show the kindness of God to? Is there anyone left of the fallen house of Saul, the fallen sons of Adam, that I can show the kindness of God to? I want to show somebody how God treats people. And one of David's servants said, there is one, O king. There is one, O king. He's a young man named Mephibosheth. He's the son of your old friend Jonathan. But are you sure you want him? Are you sure you want him? He's crippled on his feet. He's lame on both feet. He can't walk right. He was dropped in a day of battle when the enemy came. And now he can't walk right. Are you sure you want him? He might be a liability to you, King. You might be embarrassed to be seen with him. King says, yes, but he might be an illustration of my mercy. Maybe people exalt the mercy of the king when they see how I treat somebody like this. And David said, send for him. Send for Mephibosheth. Fetch him. And they brought Mephibosheth in before the king, and he cast himself down on the floor, twisted limbs, a heap on the floor. And he said, O king, he said, why should you look upon such a dead dog as I am? You know me. I'm of the fallen house of Saul. I'm nothing. I've hated you all my life because of something that happened in my family. I'm nothing. I'm worth nothing. Why did you bring me into your presence? I'm worthy of judgment and death. Didn't you bring me into your presence to kill me? King David said, no, Mephibosheth, he said, I want to show you a kindness. I want to show you the kindness, not of a man, but the kindness of God. I want to show you how God treats people. I want to tell you about a covenant that was cut in blood with your father Jonathan before you were ever born. A covenant that has your name in it, if you will receive it. It has your name in it, if you will receive it. King David said, Mephibosheth, I want to show you kindness. I want to restore all your lost inheritance. I want to give you a place in the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, a residence all your own. And he says, I want you to eat bread at my table continually. Yes. And I'm going to treat you as one of the king's sons. I'm going to treat you as one of the king's sons. And King David said, Mephibosheth, when you're seated at my table and the white linen cloth of righteousness hangs down, you won't see your broken feet. You won't see your brokenness anymore. Mephibosheth, one day in the resurrection, those broken feet will dance on golden streets. All your brokenness will be swallowed up in life. I am Mephibosheth. My name is Mephibosheth. My name means breathing shame. The shame of sin, the awful shame and regret of sin. I was living out where Mephibosheth was, out in across the Jordan in Lodabar, meaning without pasture. No shepherd, a lost sheep about to perish. A life of my own, trying to make life happen on my own, fighting out the battles of life. Trusting no one. I was in the house of Machir, sold under sin, ruled by two cruel taskmasters, Satan and self. In the house of Amiel, Amiel, my kinsman is God, is what it means. My kinsman is God. Somehow in every person, including me, somehow down in our lives is a distant memory that things aren't as they should be. A lingering memory that something was lost, an inheritance was lost, and now we struggle in this life. A distant memory that we once had a relationship with the living God, a memory of a life more abundant, a memory of dignity and honor. Could it happen again? Could it be restored? And one day the greater David, King Jesus, sent his servant the Holy Spirit to find me. And he called me my name, and I came and I cast myself down in his presence, a twisted life, worthy of judgment and death. But the king picked me up, twisted limbs and all, brokenness and all, and he carried me to his table. He said, I want you to know that I cut a covenant in blood and your name is on it before you were ever born. And he said, I'm going to seat you at my table, treat you as one of the king's sons. You will eat bread at my table continually. And now I've tasted and seen of the greatest of loves. And my heart is made free and my shame is undone. I don't see my brokenness anymore because I'm seated at the table of the Lord. I'm seated at the table of where I don't belong. I'm seated at the table because of the kindness, the mercy, the love of God, and so are you today. Let's have the musicians come. God is love. God is kind. God is agape. God is kind, and he wants to put kindness into every one of us today. It's another scripture I had today, Ephesians 4, verses 30 to 32. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, clamor, that's quarreling, bickering, arguing. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, there'd never be a broken marriage. There'd never be a broken home if we were kind. The love of God flowed in our hearts. We'd forgive and bless. No quarreling, no argumentation, no malice, no evil speaking. Be kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Is there anyone I can show the kindness of God? Is there anybody that I can treat as God would treat them? How about my wife? Can I show her the kindness of God? Treat her like the Lord treats her? Sons and daughters, people of God, treat them like the Lord treats them. Peter said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me, when he offends me? Till seven times? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. 70 times 7. And if you read the scripture right, you know he's talking about the forgiveness of God to us, that God has forgiven us 70 times 7 and continues to forgive us and love us and cover us and care for us. And the forgiveness we could extend to one another in light of what God has done could always only be 7 times. So great is the forgiveness and kindness and love of God. Well, we're seated at the table this morning, but let's stand and worship the Lord and thank Him for His grace and His forgiveness and allow Him to touch our lives afresh with kindness, the goodness, the love, the tenderness of the Lord. Hallelujah. The altars are open. If you don't know the Lord, want to come and give your life to Jesus Christ today, please come down to the front. Others, maybe God's dealing with some area of your life this morning and your agape and your kindness. You say, I need to spend some time before the Lord this morning and ask forgiveness and change my heart. Become kind as He is kind. Altars are open, but all of us this morning, let's offer our lives. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise You. Thus will I bless You. I will lift up my hands in Your name. Let's worship the Lord as we close out the service today.